Excuse me as I get our props ready for the message this morning. I wanted to keep you awake, so we have some illustration to help do that this morning. We are looking at the Apostles' Creed, and as I prepared these, I knew that Christmas season was coming, and we need to address the Christmas season as well as the Apostles' Creed. But as I found reading the Apostles' Creed, there is one ingredient that is missing, or at least it's not emphasized. It's missing in the creed, yet it's one of the most important doctrines of the church. As a matter of fact, in the early church, there was great feuds and debates about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And although it doesn't appear in the Apostles' Creed, the other creed, the Nicene Creed, was made to emphasize this and show who Jesus is. And so as we look at the Apostles' Creed, it says, I believe in God the Father, and I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. The important thing here is that we know that Jesus is God. And there are many people today that wrestle with it, as there were in the days of our apostles, that they too knew that people would question the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to emphasize that at Christmas season, we know that Jesus Christ came into the world, and He's God incarnate, that is, God with us. That is the message of the gospel. I want you to look at the Nicene Creed this morning, because that is helpful, although you don't have it before you, you have it on PowerPoint. It says it this way, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. That addresses the God issue. And then we come, and in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, and the same essence as the Father, through Him all things were made. And so we have that definition of the deity of Christ. Who Jesus is all important in this Christmas season. And as we look at this, I want to address four issues about the deity of Christ that help us to understand it. The deity of Christ is clear from Scripture. It's clear from the illustration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it says, God with us, Emmanuel. The Emmanuel means God with us. In the Old Testament, the word is spelled with an I. In the New Testament, it's spelled with an E. But it's the same word, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So our confession is that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, and He is with us. That is important for us to know and understand. There are four things I want to talk about today. The first one is the Trinity, or God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is confusing to many people. Is an important principle that we need to understand. From the early church, there were people that debated this. There were people that stood against this, and including many of the people during the Apostle John's time. There's a story told of the Apostle John that went to a public bath. That's where they took their baths, and that's where they did some steam bath. And he was there with his apostles, and they were standing as they walked in, and as they were soaking in the water. One of those men that didn't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and was teaching contrary to the sound doctrines of the Apostle John walked in. And John stood up and put his robe about him and said, let us leave this place, lest the roof come down upon us. We will not abide with heretics. John emphasized the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ all the way through the Gospel of John and in 1 John and in the book of Revelation. John knew Jesus and who He was, and he knew that He was God. I want to illustrate the Trinity this morning, because many times people struggle with that, even in our day. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons both struggle with that, as do all cults, because there's three things that they miss, three things that every cult misses. Number one, they miss who the Savior is. Number two, they miss the Scriptures and what it says about Him. And number three, they miss that salvation is by grace through faith. So I want to illustrate the Trinity with an egg. The egg has three parts. You know that, right? This is real egg. It's not hard-boiled. It has three parts. It has the outer shell. Let's say that that's God. That has the inner part, that the yellow yolk is the Lord Jesus. And the white is the Holy Spirit. So let me do this. All right? Here, I'm not a cook, so if I don't do it right, I'm going to make a mess up here. There we go. Okay, I'm opening it up. There we go. I dropped that in there. Ah, yeah. Okay, good. Now, I've got God the Father. So I've got God the Father, but the problem with this is it doesn't really follow that the Father is put aside, And then I have to somehow dig out the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ladies know how to do this. I do not. And we're going to separate the yolk from the white. This may take the rest of the day, so just rest easy. It's very difficult to do. And I suppose the easiest way to do that is just pour it out. Let me get the yolk out of there. Oh, I can't get it. Come on. Come here. Come here. Come here. There we go. There we go. There, we got Jesus, okay? We got Jesus. And the rest that's in there is the white. But the problem is, they're all separate. They're not unified anymore. And we all know the story of Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. And all that illustration is to show us that God is three parts, but it doesn't show us He's all one. And so I have another illustration that I think will be helpful to us, and that is H2O. H2O has three visible parts. First of all, there's water. And I hope you get thirsty as I do this. There's water. And let's say that water represents God the Father. And then we have H2O that comes not only as liquid, but as solid. We have ice. Thank God my ice endured and it's here, okay? So we have the sun, who represents the solid. We touched Him, and John says, we have handled of the Word of Life. And so we put Him in the water. And then we could take this, and I don't have a boiling pot, but we could put this on a stove, and we could heat it up, and we could boil it, and boil all the water away. It goes into what? Into vapor or steam. But that is still H2O. It comes down, we could condense it and bring it right back in, and it's still the same thing. So we have water God, solid Jesus Christ, and the steam, which is the Holy Spirit, that illustrates to us there are possibilities of three parts. But the most important part of this is not our understanding of it, but that Scripture declares it to be so. And therefore we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These are important principles to us. So we believe in, number one, the Trinity. Secondly, we see Him in Scripture. We see Him in Scripture. I'm going to try to remember to put the PowerPoint ahead. We saw the Trinity. Then we see Him in Old Testament appearances. All through the Old Testament, we have illustrations of Jesus before He was born in a manger, before He came to earth as a man, appearing as a man among many of the great saints. There are 10 appearances like this. He appeared to Adam and Eve in Eden. He walked with them in the cool of the day and spoke with them. That was God the Son walking with them. And then to Abraham, He appeared to him as an angel. But in the end, the angel was God. That was Jesus. And then to Hagar, same thing, the angel of the Lord. And when he disappeared, she says, I have seen God. And then to Jacob, and the same thing, he had said, I saw the Lord. And what he saw was Jesus Christ. Then to Moses, Moses saw the Lord high and lifted up. He went up to Mount Sinai, and there on the mountain, he said, I saw God. And he came down with a radiant face. And then we have Joshua that saw the Lord as well as an angel. But at the end, after the angel disappeared, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw God. It was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. And Manoah, the father of Samson, was visited by an angel, and they thought it was an angel until the end of it all, that the angel disappeared from them. And Manoah said, oh, we did not understand. We have seen the face of God. We're going to die. So he knew that Jesus Christ, or the form of the Father, was in the form of a man. And then Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filling the temple. Zechariah saw him. And finally, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the Lord. Do you remember that story? The three boys were put into the fiery furnace, and the king sat back and he said, wait a minute, you threw three of them in the furnace. Why do I see four of them in the furnace? And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? The fourth one looks like the Son of God. And they called the boys out, but the fourth one didn't come out. Why? Because that was Jesus pre-incarnate, visualizing or showing himself to the nations and to the people. So we know Jesus Christ existed before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, he's called the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And he showed himself in the Old Testament. The next one is important for us to understand that there are biblical proofs of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those proofs are magnified at the Christmas season. I want to point you to a couple of those important passages. Number one, we have Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's all understood by the Hebrew. The word Emmanu, which is the word with us, and El, which is God. He will be called God with us. That's important. That's a scripture that ought to be underlined because you can't argue against it. Even the Jews today that don't believe in Jesus Christ will have to look at that and one day recognize that Jesus did come. And then Matthew repeats that. At the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they actually quote that as they emphasize, she shall bear a son and she'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. These passages are so important, and there are many, many more. I actually have a document that I used in teaching the life of Christ. There are 1.5 pages of very fine print that each line is a representation of scripture that talks about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have Isaiah 9:6. This is a Christmas passage. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called, say it with me, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You can't escape that. You might escape it by looking at it and say, well, he's going to be wonderful, he's going to be a counselor, and he's going to be a Prince of Peace. And if that was all that's there, then you couldn't argue for the deity of Christ. But it says, he will be called what? Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You can't get away from this passage. It shouts, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, God revealed in the flesh, and he's come to be with us and to save us from our sins. All of this is so important for the gospel message that Jesus has emphasized all of these wonderful truths about who he is. And finally, we see there is the names of the Lord, the names of the Lord which declare his glory. We have that all through scripture. I've read Isaiah 7:14, which talks about his name being Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6, his name is Mighty God, Everlasting Father. I have listed on my website over 700 names of Christ, all of them pointing to the deity of Christ. We have profound scriptures that talk about the deity of Christ. Let me give you just a few more. From John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That is a powerful passage that talks about the deity of Christ. As a matter of fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses take this and they erase part of the scripture, and they put an A in there, and he was a God. That is not in the Greek. It's gone to a court of law and proved that the founder did not know Greek, couldn't understand Greek, and there is no A that says he is a God. It says he is God. And Hebrews 1:1-3 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What does it say? He is the brightness of God's glory, the exact representation, the exact image of the Father, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. And then Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, John is seeing the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ called himself the Almighty. And in Colossians 2:9 it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is that terminology of the deity of Christ, the Godhead being the Trinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, for I and my Father are one. And then he went on to say in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now all that to say that there are mighty names of the Lord all through scripture. I want to read a few of those names to you. They're on the board at the back, and I challenge you to take the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is powerful. The name of the Lord exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So we take the name of the Lord and hold on to it. Who is Jesus Christ? I want to declare it to you. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the great I Am. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the fairest of 10,000, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Who is Jesus Christ? He is before all things. He is who was, is, and is to come. He is the Almighty. He is the ruler of creation. He is the Lion of Judah, and He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the brightness of God's glory, the exact image of His person, the heir of all things, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the upholder of all things. Who is Jesus Christ? He is wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Word made flesh, the Light of the world, the Lamb of God, the Bread of life, the Water of life, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the True Vine, the Good Shepherd, the Door by which we must enter in. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Redeemer, the Renewer, the Rescuer, the Refiner, the Rebuilder, the Rewarder, the Ransom for Sinners. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Judge of the Earth, the Giver of Life, the Holder of the Keys of Death and Hell. He is the Resurrection Life. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Anointed One, the Messiah, Rabbi, the Teacher come from God, the Gift of God, the Savior of the world. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Protector, the Perfecter, the Provider, the Preserver, the Portion forever, the Priest who intercedes for us. Who is Jesus Christ? Are you tired yet? I'm not done. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the rock. He is the refuge. He's the fortress. He's the high tower. He's the deliverer. He's the shield. He's the stronghold in the time of trouble. And He is a hiding place. Who is Jesus Christ? He is author of our salvation, anchor of our soul, the advocate before the Father. He is the final amen, the altar, the avenger of the righteous, and He is my all in all. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the King of glory, the King immortal, the invisible, the only wise God, the King forever, the King of heaven, the King of Israel, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the King of peace, the King of righteousness, the King of saints, the King of Jews, the King of all kings. That is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is Lord of all. That ought to thrill your heart to know that Jesus Christ has declared Him to be all these things and many more. I didn't read 700. I read less than 100 of those names of Christ. But what does Scripture say? Scripture says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They didn't recognize Him for who He was. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gives the right to be called the children of God, even to them who what? Believe on His name. His name. His name and His multiplied names. The question this morning is, do you know Him today? Have you received the Son of God? Have you invited Him to come into your life? Have you not just accepted the theory of Jesus and who He is, but you've received Him and invited Him to come into your life? That's how we are saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to close with the words from a great preacher, black preacher, who had a way with words, and he wrote these down, and he's preached this many times. He's now gone to be with the Lord. His name is S.M. Lockridge. And I always wondered, why do they call it S.M. instead of his real name? Why do they call A.W. Tozer A.W.? Well, it's because their first names were not good names. And this guy's first name is Shadrach, and his second name is Meshach, and the last name is Lockridge. So listen to him as he proclaims who Jesus is.
He's a King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings. And He is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Do you know Him? No means of measure can define His limitless love. Well, He's eternally strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And He's impartially blessed. Do you know Him? He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know Him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leprous. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the people. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Hakeem is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe it to you, but he didn't describe it. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he has no successor, and he'll have no successor. You can't even beat him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King.
And that's my King. Is he your King? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save all of us who were lost, to take us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock. And I pray today that everyone that's here will know him as their Savior. Everyone here has prayed that prayer and asked Jesus Christ to come in and wash their sins away and be their Savior and write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're here this morning, you haven't done that, today is the day of salvation. Ask Jesus Christ to come in. Ask him to cleanse you of your sin. Ask him to take you to heaven when you die. And what he promised, that he will do. Now we ask, Lord, that you would go with us from this place and you grant us the benediction of the Holy Spirit. That you'd walk with us and talk with us. That you would shine through us the light of the glorious gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Merry Christmas.